Let's go to the Word this morning. I'm in a little series. If this is your first time ever being with us at Fellowship Church, I use this big screen, put my scriptures up here. Occasionally, every July, I will talk about America, flat out. I do a series called In God We Trust, and that airs on the Christian Television Network, and we research and we talk about America's founding and its roots. And just a word about television, the other night, what was the show called? But what was it on? What channel? What network? On the History Channel the other night. What night? Friday night? Friday night. It was something called Apocalypse 2. Is that right? Oh, it's on History 2 called about the apocalypse. So anyway, an outfit out of California who works for the History Channel called our office and asked if they could use some of our footage on the History Channel the other night. Yeah, they did. Yeah. And I said to them, it's okay. It wasn't a big thing that they put on about us. It was about the apocalypse. But I said it was okay as long as you don't try to make me look like some wild-eyed freak. Which I think if you put anything on for me, I'm going to look that way. But anyway, so I guess they used a couple of our clips. And it was interesting. So anyway, if you have a chance, History Channel 2, you might want to research that and look at the show, The Apocalypse. Okay? So praise the Lord. Amen. So we use this big screen, and we're going to share the Word with you this morning. But today I'm going to do something almost like one of my In God We Trust messages. But it's brand new. Just put it together this week. So here we go. Let's see what we can see. This little series we're in is called Pilgrims and Pioneers. Say that with me. Pilgrims and Pioneers. There they are. Follow the line. There they came from England to America. Let's talk about it. Because we're celebrating Thanksgiving. Why are you doing this message today? Well, you're going to see why. Here we go. So they came from England to America in a boat just like that. There's 103 of them inside that ship coming to this new world. Can you imagine such a thing? Say, can you even imagine such a thing? Say. And you're here today, and I'm here today because of people that thought we mattered. Did you hear me? Say. And you're going to see. Here we go. Let's roll, Raj. So today, the title of my message today is called The Pilgrimage. Say that with me. The Pilgrimage. Now we're rolling. We're rolling. Here we go. Come on. We're flying. What is a pilgrim? Okay? A pilgrim is a stranger who's traveling or dwelling in a foreign land. Often, a pilgrim is described as one who is journeying to what? A what? A holy place, a pilgrimage. Who were the pilgrims? You hear of Thanksgiving and you always think of who? The who? Pilgrims! You learn about it in school. They had the black suits on, little white collars, and the funny looking hat, right? Yes or no? That's what I remember. Can't tell you a thing what they did, but I remember that. Amen. We made up little cardboard stuff as a kid. We put it on our head and like we looked like crazy people. That's what we did. The pilgrims. Who were the pilgrims? Well, they were from England. Say that second thing with me. They were believers in Jesus Christ, flat out. There's no history that you can read that's valid history without saying these people were from England. They were firm believers in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Their goal was to achieve, very important that you see this, their goal was to achieve and preserve a simplicity and a purity that they felt had been lost in Catholicism and the Anglican Church or the Church of England. That was the thing that drove them to these shores. They wanted also to establish themselves as being able, say it with me, to what? Rightly interpret what? The Holy Scriptures, very important that you see this. We all need to take a wake-up call from the pilgrims. Independent of and inherited, say inherited, social, cultural, or religious order. So much of what we believe about Jesus, about our faith, much of it you won't find in the Bible. It's social, it's cultural, and it's religious, it's been passed down. Did y'all know that or not? Say. And people get so angry, can't believe that! That you say that's not there. I know it's got to be there. It ain't there. It's not in the book. We make up stuff, guys. Are y'all listening? Yes or no? And that's one of the things these guys wanted. They wanted to be able to rightly interpret the Scriptures freely. Thus says the Lord. Amen. That's our heritage. Well, they left England in 1608. And they thought they would go to Holland nearby with hopes of religious freedom. And they were under intense pressure from the Church of England and the King of England, because the King was the head of the Church. You understand? Well, they went to Holland and found out it won't no picnic. And especially for their children, they were very frightened for their children and things that they experienced in Holland, things that they saw that their children were going through and going to be learning from that culture. Y'all with me so far? So 12 years they were in Holland. They decided to move again. Say, move again. That's what pilgrims do. Amen? They moved again. But after obtaining the backing of the Virginia Company, 103 of them set sail for America. That's how we began. Did y'all know that? Yes or no? That's how we began. This great country. The pilgrimage. The pilgrimage. So in 1620, after having lived in Holland for 12 years, Governor William Bradford, say that name with me, Governor William Bradford, described the pilgrims' departure from Holland to England, where they would board the ship bound for America. Now listen, I love this. I was able to read things from Governor William Bradford himself, from his own pen. He was part of them. He was there. And so you and I today, are y'all listening today? We have history. We have things we can see with our own eyes and learn today about what it is to be a pilgrim and what are the pilgrims and what does that have to do with my faith? And don't go to sleep on me. Here we go. Come on. So he's going to give us some of the history. Out of 103 pilgrims who left, say it with me, how many died? 51 died in that first terrible winter in the New World. 17 male head of households died. You only had 103 to begin with. 17 male head of households died. 11 wives died. It's a wonder America even made it. Y'all listening? It's where you came from when you think you can't make it sometimes. Go back and you dig a little deeper because you can. Amen? William Bradford. Who was he? It's important that you know because I'm going to use quite a bit of stuff for the next 10 minutes. Who was William Bradford? He was the leader of the pilgrims. Leaders lead. Say that with me. Leaders what? If you're going to get somewhere, you need a leader. Amen? That was William Bradford. He was the leader of the pilgrims. He was elected governor once they finally got to the Americas. Here in America, he was elected governor of the Plymouth Colony in 1621. So, we're going to look at quite a bit of his stuff. He was elected every year until his death. He must have been a good one, huh? Say, elected every year until his death, until 1657, except 5 years he declined. I didn't find out exactly why he declined the different times, but over 50 years, I think he has a break to be, have a break 1 year. Amen? Say. So, anyway, I love it because you can go back and actually see there's one leader, there's not a bunch of them. You can see his writings and you get a clear view of what it really was all about. Governor William Bradford. What do you have to say? He recounts the journey. I've broken it down so we maybe understand it. So being ready to depart, they had a day of solemn humiliation. Their pastor taking his text from Ezra 8:21. I thought about this time before we have Thanksgiving on Thursday. Why don't we read what they read? Why don't we act like we're back inside? This is a ship, okay, and here we are, and we're ready to go, but we haven't set sail yet. Okay? the pastor says. Ezra 8:21. And there at Ye River, from the Word of God, by Ahava, I proclaimed a fast, that we might humble ourselves before God and seek of Him a right way for us and for our what? And for our substance. So they huddled together and the pastor read that scripture. Bradford says the rest of the time was spent in powering out prayers to the Lord. With great what? Fervency. Before this thing ever set sail into the water, they're praying, man. Mixed with abundance of tears, and they're crying. And the time being come that they must depart, they were accompanied with most of their brethren of the city unto a town several miles off called Delves Haven, where the ship was ready to receive them. They knew that they were pilgrims, but they lift up their eyes to the heavens, their dearest country, and quieted their what? Their spirits. And Bradford inserts this scripture, Hebrews 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a what? A country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Can you feel them? Say, can you feel it? Pilgrims. Bradford writes, what could now sustain them but the Spirit of God and His grace? May not and ought not the children of these fathers rightly say our fathers were Englishmen, which came over this great ocean and were ready to perish in this wilderness? But they cried unto the Lord, and He heard their voice, and He looked on the adversity. And then this scripture, Bradford inserts, and thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation, great and mighty and populous. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and He looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. Well, they had God, didn't they? God in their heart. They had vision. Without vision, the people what? Perish, the Bible says. Let them therefore praise the Lord, because He is good. His mercies endure forever. Yea, let them which have redeemed of the Lord show how He hath delivered you from the land of your oppressor. And again, Bradford inserts the scriptures. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks. Wow. They ain't even left yet. It's funny how we are. We'll give thanks if everything turns out okay. You might ought to try to start doing what the pilgrims do. How about thank the Lord on the front end? Amen? You might do a little better in life. Amen? Here they are. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Sounds like pilgrims to me. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And that's how Bradford recounts the journey. When they wandered in the desert wilderness out of the way and found no city to dwell, Bradford's writing, both hungry and thirsty, their soul was overwhelmed in them. Let them confess before the Lord His loving kindness and His wonderful works before the sons of men. Having been blown off course, now they're on the ship and they're sailing. having been blown off course from their intended landing in Virginia, because who had sponsored them to come? The Virginia Company. They were blown off course by a terrible storm. The Pilgrims landed at, say it with me, Cape Cod on November the 11th, 1620. That was last Sunday. Almost 400 years ago last Sunday. Isn't that crazy? William Bradford recounted the landing at the Plymouth Plantation. Having arrived in a good harbor and brought safe to land, they fell upon their knees and blessed the God of heaven who had brought them over the vast and furious ocean and delivered them from all the perils and miseries thereof, again to set their feet on the firm and stable earth, their proper element. Wow. The pilgrimage. Have you learned anything yet or not really? You feeling a little connected? I did as I was studying this week. I got some connection to these guys. I want that spirit in me. Amen? The pilgrimage. What's that bunch of writing on the right-hand side? Oh, it's very important, people. So they landed. They're in the ship. They're blessing the God of heaven. Governor William Bradford and the leaders on the Mayflower sign, say it with me, the what? Now we say that louder because most people don't know it and they ought to. They signed the what? The one more time, they signed the what? On November the 11th, 1620, and I love this, before setting foot on dry land. We're going to sign this thing. Amen? The beautiful thing, this was America's first great institutional document. Hey, we love the Declaration of Independence. We love our Constitution. But you ask the Mayflower Complex, people go, huh? Is that like a small little ship or something? The Mayflower Company? We don't know. This is where you came from. You listening today, church? Here it is. The Mayflower Compact. In the name of God, amen. Come on, how do you like starting something like that? Come on, I like that. That should just end it right there. In the name of God, amen. Come on. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord, King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the faith, etc. Keeps going. Having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith and honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. Do by these presents, solemnly and mutually in the presence of God, and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the end of aforesaid. And by virtue hereof, to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, under which we promise all due submission and obedience. In witness thereof, we have hereunder ascribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, which was last Sunday, in the year of the reign of our sovereign Lord King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and by Scotland, the 54th, Anno Dom 1620. That's the Mayflower Compact. How'd that feel? They did that before they got off the ship, according to the governor. Amen? Have I bored you to tears? We don't have that much longer. Hang in here with me. According to Bradford, why did the pilgrims come to America? Why did they come here? As I read his stuff, here's my summary of what he said. Say that with me. Because of what? One more time. Because of what? One more time. Because of hope. If anybody ever ask you why the pilgrims came to America, you give them that answer. Because of hope. Number one, hope of finding a better place for living. We've already talked about the struggles. Barely got into what they were going through. Number two, hope that their children, these are his words, would not be drawn away by evil and extravagance. He probably wouldn't like what he sees today. But that was why he came. And they came. Number three, hope for propagating and advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? I think he would like what he sees today and what he's seen over the last few hundred years. Don't you say? Around the world. Number four, hope that the new world would be a beacon of promise and a city that's set on a hill. Would you say America, the United States of America, is that to the world and has been for a long time? Let's praise the Lord for America today. Come on! Thank you, Lord! Absolutely! This is not a Sunday I'm going to pick out our flaws. I'm going to be thankful. You hear me today? Amen? This is a history lesson. And you've had Scripture from the Word of God. Man, you've got on board with the pilgrims today. I love it. Why do you celebrate Thanksgiving? Well, on November the 29th, 1623, 3 years, say 3 years, because they landed on November the 11th, 16 what? 20. So 3 years later, November the 29th, 1623, 3 years after the pilgrims' arrival, 2 years after the first Thanksgiving they had together, Governor William Bradford made an official proclamation for a day of what? And I got to read you his proclamation. I got tickled at it in my office. Here we go. To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetable. And by the way, I eat every one of those. Listen. And has made the forest to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams. And inasmuch as He has protected us from the ravages of the savages, and spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to what? To worship God, according to the dictates of our own conscience. Well, that's what they wanted, wasn't it? Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all you pilgrims, with your wives and with your little ones, do gather at the meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12. That's why I usually preach from 9 to noon on Sunday, right there. Not really. Here we go. Between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November the 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since the pilgrims have landed on Plymouth Rock. And I love this part right here. Now, that's what you've had to do today. There to listen to you, Pastor, and render thanksgiving to to Almighty God for all His blessings. Signed, William Bradford, ye governor of ye colony. Let's thank the Lord for this man. Come on. Giving the Lord the credit. So I close the message today like this. Like an Irishman almost. Here we go. Come on. Listen to ye, pastor. Before we have our Thanksgiving, over what I read this week, I came away with four things that I think those early pilgrims would say to you 400 years later. So listen to you, pastor. Number one, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what they would have said to you. They would have said, don't put your faith in a religion. Don't put your faith in a denomination. Don't put your faith in a custom. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for you, the one who rose from the dead for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You hearing me today? It's not about your works of righteousness which you have done, but by His mercy He saved us. Listen to you, pastor. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I love on my left hand is Gene Martin. I keep hearing him say amen. Where are you? Just stepped out. Here we go. No, he's good. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ here at Fellowship Church. Now he's a servant of the Lord. On my right, it's Frank Scheiber. He's not here today. He's down. A lot of people go away on Thanksgiving. He is saved here on Father's Day, several years ago here at Fellowship Church. Now a servant of the Lord. That is my hope for you. If you're here today and you're not a believer in Christ, that I could see you on my right hand and on my left as we go to the kingdom of God together. Are you hearing me today? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Where do I get that from? Romans 10. Oh, and by the way, thank God for my mama. She was listening to a man preach this message of the pilgrims, a man named Billy Graham preach that message on television about being saved. Just the same message they brought over here to us. Amen? And these wanderers, she and I, started our pilgrimage to heaven. Amen? I want you on that road with me. Are y'all hearing me today? Come on. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. So that's point number one. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. These aren't long points. Number two. Listen to you, pastor. Seek simplicity and purity in your worship of Jesus Christ. Seek simplicity and purity or sincerity in your worship of Jesus Christ. We are building a facility for the glory of God. I want it to be nice. I want it to be a place where people can come. And I want to do it debt-free for the glory of God. But it is not about a fancy facility. It's about a place where we can live sincerely and have our faith. Somebody playing the guitar. Who's playing the guitar? Who is? Hush that guitar playing, please. Thank you. Here we go. I'm sorry. I'm like a little kid at preschool. I can't hear things. I jump off stuff if we did. Here we go. Are y'all listening? Y'all with me? Y'all with me or not? Hang in here with me. That'd be my second point. And I read that as I read their writings. They wanted simplicity. They wanted purity in their worship. They wanted to be free to worship, but to do it in simplicity. It's not all about the pomp and the circumstance and the this and the that. It's about, are you a sincere follower of Jesus Christ? Yes or no? It's what it's about. And I had Roger throw up this picture here of us just out there on the property in the yard. That's good stuff, ain't it? We can worship God in high school. We can worship Him at a picnic table. Amen? Say. It's about the heart. Y'all listening today? 2 Corinthians, but our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we've had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you. So that's my second challenge to you. Number three, according to what I read from the Pilgrims, read, say read. Come on, can you say it a little louder? Read and rightly interpret the Holy Scriptures. Free from cultural, social, or religious what? Custom. Hey, but guys, guess what? It starts with reading. If I'm all the Bible you get every week, you're in a bad way. You need to have your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. We will give you a Bible. Okay? Won't we, Pete? If you don't know how to read the Bible, we have a class that will actually take time to help you understand and read the Bible. But usually, people say they can't read the Bible. That's a bunch of bull. How many can read the newspaper in the room? Can I see your hand? Let me see your hand. Come on, you know you can read the paper. How many fellows can read Sports Illustrated if you had to? Well, the Bible's written on a lower grade level, believe it or not, than in Sports Illustrated. Fifth grade level. How many of you above a fifth grade? Can I see your hand? Well, there you go. I got you. I got you one way or the other. Read the Bible. And rightly interpret the Scriptures. Quit making stuff up so you can look better, judge people. You listening or not? Would never read the Bible where I pat myself on the back. That's craziness. I'm to read my word so I get more humble, more meek, more lowly, more like Jesus. Amen? Read it. Free of whatever else has been put into your mind. Thus says the Lord. Amen. The word. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about what? Words to know what? Profit. But to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Say that last part with me. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Number four. We're done. With great hope and zeal, advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here, that should be H-E-R-E, but that's okay. That's before you come and tell us. And around the world. Amen? That's why we're blessed to have folks like you guys. I understand the drummer today that played the beatbox. You're a street evangelist. Is that correct? What streets of what country do you preach on? Come on, it's a country. Many towns, he's a street evangelist who preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ on his streets. Many towns in the Czech Republic and in Slovakia. Amen? That's a blessing. We love you. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be what? Sent. So today, if you want to help a street preacher on the streets of Prague and the Czech Republic in little cities and towns and villages, you have a chance. Amen? Let's be a church that does what? Has great hope, and with great zeal, we advance the gospel of Jesus Christ right here where we live. Boy, he's fast. He's fixed it. And around the world, guys. Are y'all listening? Put a shirt on it says fellowship, or a hat, or something on the back of your car. Why? If they come here, they're going to hear the gospel. But it's going to probably give you an occasion to speak to somebody. You understand? How many of you ever wore something, put something on the car, and somebody said something to you? Can I see your hand? I'm telling you, it works, guys. The Bible says, be ready always. ready to give an answer to any man that asks of the what? Hope that's inside of you. Amen? I got a feeling the pilgrims heard this kind of stuff. Hey, if you meet somebody along the way, be ready to give an answer, man. Amen? Say, I can hear them. Come on, guys. Let's be pilgrims. How about it? I like these guys. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that's in you with... last part? Be ready to add that part that we don't shove it down people's throats. We love Jesus. We love people. And we're going to do that meekly and in the fear of God. Amen? Come on. And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, and for love shall cover the multitude of what? It's amazing if you'll love somebody, how it's going to cover over their imperfections. Love never fails. Judgment does fail. Condemnation does fail. My Bible tells me love never what? It never fails. Love people. Use hospitality. Look at that. Invite people to your home. Invite people out to dinner. You know, hang out with people. Do that. Hospitality with one another without what?
I can cook better than you do.
Come on. Without grudging or anything like that. Amen? And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold what? Grace of God. Amen. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God has given, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So anyway, that's the word from ye pastor today. Amen. And I went back in time and I found out this was the word, I believe, that was being given to that early church that came right here. Amen? So I want you to go have a great Thanksgiving, remembering your heritage and getting you something inside of you. Amen today. You got it? Say amen. The pilgrimage. Come on, say it with me. The pilgrimage. And say this part with me. Come on, one more time. One more time. We're still pilgrims, baby. Come on. Praise the Lord with me this morning for His Word, for a little history. Thank you, Lord, for faithful servants.